Ramble.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to You Can Sit With Us. This is Rachel. This makes me incredibly nervous, actually. I just got butterflies to introduce the episode.
You're doing great.
You got three hosts here. You got Becky.
Hi.
Ariel's here.
Hello.
And Maggie's here.
Woo.
The gang's all here. Today, we're going to do a controversial opinion. It is incited by Ariel. I hope there's some like real fighting over it.
I think there will be.
Should I say what it is?
Oh, I think there will be.
There will be. I won't even say what it is. It's going to be hot. There's some hot tea. But first, before that, we are going to discuss behind the Try, the BTS of a Try Guys video. What was going on in real life when the Try Guys were swimming with sharks?
Oh, man.
That is a long video. I wasn't around. I had never met the Try Guys. It is old days at that old company that they used to work for, and they went swimming with sharks. So the year is 1885.
No, I was just looking. It was 2016.
Okay. Wow.
It was June 2016. That's so long ago. I can't believe. I can't believe that we've known each other for that long.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do this segment because We've known each other for a while now, and we have been traveling with these guys. We've been, you know, behind the scenes on almost all of these videos. I mean, since they were at BuzzFeed, and we've got some drama to share. We've got some tea.
Selling a little or a lot.
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How do you guys feel about like talking about the behind the scenes?
I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I think people don't know how often we are also there and whatever. I feel like especially in those like early BuzzFeed days, we were all like trying to clamor on to whatever like really fun thing was happening.
Absolutely. Like,
Can I come?
Did you guys also swim with sharks?
No.
No.
That was not the really fun thing that was happening.
That was not the fun thing was the trip to Miami. Ariel, Matt, and I went to Miami, and it was actually Maggie, you and Zach had like just started dating.
Yeah, I think we met in March and this video came out in like June or July, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Zach was like, oh, by the way, I'm going to go do this sponsored video. And he was, we talked about it last night, and he was like, I wanted to tell you that I really liked you in case I, like, I don't know, died.
Died?
Oh, like, my God. Yeah. But he was like, also, we had only been dating for 3 months, so it was very weird. It was a weird situation to be in, but
it was a weird situation all around.
I remember Snapchat was a thing, and he was like Snapchatting Miami. So they get into the water with bull sharks, which are one of the most aggressive pack sea creatures in the world. And I thought it was going to be like Hawaii, where you go into a tank and you're like protected in the little shark tank thingy. But then when I watched the video, it's a 4 minute long video. They are in open ocean, just like chilling. And there's like hundreds of sharks underneath them.
Somebody just throws out chum and they're like, okay, the shark should be coming soon. And they're like, fuck.
It seemed like the guy running the ship was like, okay, they have to get out now. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so dangerous. So scary.
Well, I didn't know they had to sign life, and they had to get life insurance. BuzzFeed made them get a life insurance policy. And Keith was like, okay, so, because we weren't married at the time. He's like, okay, I'm going to put you as my beneficiary. And I was like, and that's how he told me that they had to get the life insurance policies.
Like, wow. I'm not ready for this kind of commitment.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, can you actually get hurt? And he's like, yeah, probably.
We're swimming with sharks. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah. I know. I thought, too, they would be in a cage.
I thought they were going to be in a cage.
I think he actually did think that they were going to be in a shark cage. That's I remember that. Like, because I was really stressed out about it. I was, I remember thinking, well, okay, so this was one of their first sponsored things. It was like, it was a really big deal for them because there was this, you know, like they had been doing videos at BuzzFeed for not very long, maybe 6 months to a year. They had been doing videos together and then they got this sponsored thing. And like, we didn't even really know what that meant. We were like, oh, okay. So you can get like sponsors for videos. That's cool. Awesome. It, like, great.
Like lively and cool.
Yeah. And so, and they were like, yeah. So we're going to come up with like a really cool concept for it. And I don't remember who came up with swimming with sharks, but it just took off. And they're like, oh my God, what's happening? I don't even think that it was them. I think it was the branded team or something like that. They were like, okay, so we're going to have you guys swim with sharks. It's like, sorry, what? That's not a good idea. That's like legitimately dangerous.
Okay, so you're all nervous. They all have extra life insurance. And at least Becky and Ariel fly to Miami, too.
And Matt, yeah.
Were you guys there, like, on the boat? Or were you, like, hanging at a hotel?
We did, because it was they were doing it as part of a series. So there were other videos they had to film. So we did, I believe we went out for a week. And then when they needed to go to the other place to do the swimming with sharks, the three of us left. And went back to LA. And I do have a very specific memory of us getting, Ariel, do you remember when we got on the plane to go home and Matt was like, oh, let's all take, I think it was like a Benadryl or something. And he's like, we'll all fall asleep. It'll be so cute. We could just, you know, whatever. So I remember popping this Benadryl and the plane moves like 5 feet and then it stops. And we had to get off. And
I do remember that.
We were like so far away from our next gate. And I was like in a daze, like,
oh, like dragging you along.
I was like, Ariel, look, a Pizza Hut.
Yes, Becky.
Becky got high on Benadryl.
So funny.
That's so funny. Worse when you're trying to fight the effects of Benadryl. It's happening.
And that's so Matt to just be like, let's take this. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Take this. You'll go to sleep. Okay.
But we didn't know each other very well back then. And do you remember where we stayed? We got an Airbnb in Miami Beach. Because we thought that would be a really good idea. And there weren't even enough rooms for everybody. We were like sleeping on top of each other.
I remember Ariel and Ned were like in the kitchen area on like a cot, and Keith and I were on a pullout in the living room.
Yes.
So before we went to bed, we would be like, good night. Yeah, it was so funny. I remember the street outside of where our Airbnb was like unfinished. Yes. So, or like it was under construction. So every time we came back from like anywhere, you were like bouncing around.
Yeah, yeah. It got to the point where we would just have them like have them drop us a little bit farther away, and then we'd like walk down.
We would just
walk.
I was
like, I am not wearing heels to walk over. Like that was back when I wore heels. Please, you know, like to walk over these rocks.
Maggie, was that your like first taste of what they were? You know, what the Try Guys were all about? Were you like, yeah, holy shit, he's going to be doing these scary things all the time? Or
I was, he hadn't had videos where he had traveled as much. I thought he was just doing, dressing up like in a vagina costume, doing things out of BuzzFeed Studios. And I was like, wait, where are you going? I was like, are you going to travel a lot? Should I expect this in our future? But it was really exciting to see it come together too.
I remember Ned being scared, but not that scared. And then when he came back, he was like, that was a life-changing experience
that I just had. Ned end up having like almost like a panic attack when he got in the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was not scared of sharks going in. And then coming out, he was like just afraid for his life. He just like his whole life flashed before his eyes. You know, he's like, I'm going to lose a foot. I'm never going to be a father. Just like all the things that he, it was just crazy.
I was like, you see sharks in aquariums and you're like, oh yeah, if I saw that in the wild, like I've seen them in aquariums. Like I know what they're like. They're not as big as I think they are. But I think if you were to dunk me in a tank with a fish that's larger than me or a shark, I would just shut down and try like climbing out of the water as fast as possible. I can't even imagine.
The funniest and realest thing said, I think it's in the series, not in that exact video, is when Zach goes, just getting into the ocean, there's nothing in here, which is like perfectly demonstrates my fear of the ocean, which is there's so much life down there and you don't know what's coming up and you don't know how big or scary it is or slimy or spindly or anything. It's like every time I get in, I'm like, oh, please, nothing touch me. Nothing touch me. Nothing touch me.
Rachel, you need to look up The Great Hole. No. It is like the deepest hole in the ocean. And like only recently has like a new level of it been explored.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like one of the, it's like insane. It's so scary. It's I would never.
Like, I think there's a movie poster somewhere of somebody in flippers, like, at the top of the water, and then, and then it, like, there's just ocean, and nothing at the bottom, you know, so that they don't reveal what's coming up to get the person, but that is one of my greatest fears. It's just dangling for all of those things that know the water better than you, you know? Like, even when I'm at the beach, I don't like to go past where my feet don't touch the ground, because you don't know what's under.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what's going to get you.
Yeah, I make Watts hold me. I, like, hold on to him. I'm like, we can swim out if I'm, like, on your back like a koala bear, but I can't be my own person. It's too scary. Yeah.
The ocean is the closest thing we have to going to space.
I know.
You know?
For sure.
Those are, like, the most unexplored places with the craziest looking, like,
creatures.
Gooeys.
I was scuba diving with friends in Thailand, and one of them was like looking under the water, and I'm right behind her, and I'm looking under the water, and she pops up and she goes, there's something spiky, and starts swimming back towards the boat. And I was like, oh hell no, I'm going there's something spiky, we're out of here.
Spikes?
I'm sure it was just a fish, but like, no.
Zach and I were walking along the beach in Mexico once, and we saw a sea snake. I didn't know sea snakes existed, but the water was washing back and you just saw its body catapults itself, almost like those little crabby things that when you stick your hand in as the waves crossing back, you can sometimes catch one with your hand, but it was terrifying.
Did anyone say, like, please don't go do this?
I didn't say don't go do, because, well, they were already signed into it, because I was like, are you sure you wanted, because one of the things on the life insurance was giving you a dollar amount for your limbs.
What?
It was like if you lose a hand, you will get X amount of money.
Okay, you guys, I found a video of
us
in Miami Beach. It's us in our Airbnb. Ned is popping a bottle of champagne. Becky and Keith are sitting on a bright yellow couch. Katie's in the background.
They're bad.
Eugene is only wearing his underwear in the kitchen. Matt is also only wearing his underwear. Zach is wearing pants that do not show his ankles.
What a time.
Scandalous.
And then I have a picture of 75% off everything must go. That's like right in the middle of everything.
What? Wait, Ariel, I have the other part of that picture. It's when we went out and got way too lit. And we were taking pictures in front of this, like, everything must go sign. I have, like, the blurriest. I need to see if I can find it.
Why? Did you think it was funny?
Probably.
Maybe we thought, like,
why we took a picture there.
Our clothes must go or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's like.
It was something. It's like, yeah.
And I think pictures of us at the beach.
Shirt off.
Take your shirt off.
We probably thought that was really funny.
So, in 2016, you're. You know, trotting around Miami. Were you guys, was anything on your radar that, like, the guys could, like, make it on their own with this? Like, they got their first sponsored video that they could leave BuzzFeed. Were they recognized? Were you recognized? Like, did you sense how popular they were yet? Or was that all still to come down the road?
I think it was still to come.
Yeah, this was one of the first times that we had traveled together. And I think that they were just starting to get recognized. And I remember, I mean, now if the four of them are together with us, they can't even walk down the street. Like, but at this time, like, all four of them were together. We were going out. And maybe a couple of people in one night would recognize them. And I remember turning to, like, Becky and Matt and being like, this is weird, right? Like, this is weird that they're getting recognized.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, at the, I think, sort of the starting point of where, like, somebody maybe at the airport was, like, excited. And we were all like, this is so weird.
Huh.
This is strange.
Yeah.
And then it only kind of, like, snowballed from there.
Oh, I remember standing in line for ice cream. And we were in, like, a pretty long line. And all of us were standing in line in a big group together. And, you know, that was maybe one of the two or three times that somebody came up and they were like, do you guys work for BuzzFeed? And they were like, yeah, we do. You want to take a picture?
Yes. Have you seen?
Thanks for watching. Yeah, that's a big
any
one. Thanks for watching.
That they would leave BuzzFeed? Or, no. This is like thick as thieves in BuzzFeed.
No, I think this was like thick as thieves. Yeah, because it was also like, at least for Keith, it was like one of the first day jobs he ever had that was in the field that he wanted to do. So he was just so excited, you know. And they were a little older at this point, too, from when they were like, they came in as, like, interns and fellows and, you know.
And this was also, this was one of the first videos that was, like, heavily produced, you know. So they had a producer and they had somebody that was, you know, basically ferrying them around. And, like, we had somebody pick us up from the airport. And I was like, what is this? What is this service that we're getting? You know, like, having
this life of luxury.
Like, yeah, like, the first sponsored video. They and I remember meeting with their, you know, producer for dinner one night. And yeah, she was just like, this is going to be great. We're going to be doing this and this and this. And I was like, whoa, she's got it all, like, taken care of. This is crazy. You guys aren't like, somebody is kind of doing a
handling
lot of this
them.
Work. Yeah, they were being handled. It was such a strange thing. It was completely new.
I was thrilled with it, though, because, you know, their producer who was handling them is now one of my best friends. And we're like in each other's weddings. And it's just like one of those things where I was like, man, I would have never met Katie if it wasn't for the boys being together. You know, same with like, I would have never met Rachel. I would never met Maggie, never met Ariel. I would never met you guys if they weren't together. So it's so like interesting how much our lives are intertwined with like work.
In general, I think it's really fun to work with people who are your actual friends. Like,
and
that's
family.
Pretty, that's dreamy. That's so dreamy, you know?
Yeah. I do feel like we are a family now. You know, it's very, we've, how long has this been going on? Probably 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years, yeah. I think we're going to hit 6 years in March.
It's not about like being like work friends or just friends anymore. It really is a family.
Aww.
You know what's one thing?
I'm watching. Cry. Yeah.
Now I'm sentimental.
I know. We're watching Ariel via Mama of Two and Rachel with twins. It's crazy how time's passing and, you know, we all get to be a part of each other's lives.
Max is going to get married, and we're going to prank Zach about it as much as possible.
Yes, 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 yes.
Becky's become a cat lady this year. Mm-hmm. A real transformation from zero to several.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had babies, two weddings, or we will have two weddings. Two babies, two weddings.
To bring it back to the video for a second. Yeah, right. How did you feel when you saw the first edit, or they probably didn't show you in it, but when you saw the video cut together and you saw the sharks beneath them, were you like, oh my God?
Yeah, it was really intense. I remember once I saw the video, I remember thinking, how could BuzzFeed let them do this? That's like the first thing that I thought of. I was like, this is so scary. Like they're risking their lives. How could BuzzFeed let them do this? But of course, you know, they signed away all their, it wasn't BuzzFeed that let them do it. They wanted to do it themselves.
I don't think I really understood what had happened because Zach had told me over the phone what the day went like, but we were also very new. So it wasn't like a very long phone conversation. He was traveling, so I wanted to be respectful of him being with his friends and working. But when I saw the footage, you guys know my friend Samra. She's a wildlife biologist, and she knows a lot. She used to work at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and she's talked about bull sharks to us before. And I was like, wait a minute, there were bull sharks? You did not disclose that. They are super aggressive. They're like one of the top three aggressive sharks in the world. And there's not a lot of, I mean, the shark attacks, it's not on the high percentage, but if the boys were to have done something to threaten one of them, one wrong move, they would have definitely done whatever they needed to do. And they're pack animals, so they travel in large groups. They're not singular sharks.
When I watch that video, I see where the guys are, but what I am thinking of is that camera guy who seems super far out by himself, shooting them under and is not with the instructor. He's got some distance. He's getting the wide shot. And I'm like, who's that? Are they in a special tank? Because if they're not, who's that? Are they okay?
And the instructor seemed panicked as well. And you never want your instructor to feel
when he's like, I gotta get out now.
It's the worst. It's like, oh, they're like, concerned. I should be concerned.
The buddy video to that, that one of the other part of that series is when they try not to die at sea. And Keith just has the worst time of his life. Becky,
my poor baby. He's so gentle, gentle little giant. And he was so sick.
Do you get seasick as well, Becky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just get nauseous in life in general as a character trait.
Yeah. I always stick with you when we go on rides together.
When I write the book about your life.
Yeah. I remember when I was like in my early 20s and I said to like some friend, I was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you just get like nauseous before whatever. And they were like,
what?
No. No. Like, that's not normal. People don't just. And she's like, I think you have anxiety. I was like, I'll look into that. Okay. I get nauseous. Keith, he's usually like got a pretty good stomach. Like he's not one to throw up that much. Though there was one time Eugene went out. Uh-oh. Keith and Eugene went out and I was sleeping in bed and it was when we were in our first apartment and I just hear the door come in and like some rumbling and then I hear the noise and then Keith goes, it's Eugene's fault.
It's Eugene's fault. I can't tell you how many times I have heard that.
Keith never gets sick.
It's always Eugene's fault. I can't tell you how many times it's Eugene's fault. Especially in those early days when Eugene would take them out. And like, and
oh my God, they would go to West Hollywood.
Home sick so many times. So many times.
He would come back and be like, Eugene.
Are you drunk? And he's like, Eugene made me do it.
That's like the new motto now. But Keith is usually pretty good at sea, so I felt bad that he was so like obviously dehydrated. And just the move, it even made me sick to like watch it. But I love Zach. What a glow stick make you feel better.
He's like, there, there.
Well, Keith's just dry heaving.
When you're throwing up, nothing, you can't do anything else. Like, that's all you can do. It's the worst.
And nothing makes it better until you're docked.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, by the time they were there, because they had already, they had been doing like the pre-production of it, and then they were still like an hour away from land. Like, there was just no rest from these waves and this choppiness, and they were just out there for so long that I was like, oh no. So I do I do try and tell Keith, anything that's gonna like really hurt you or like really make you like ill, like if you could not do those.
All right, everybody, we are going to get into a new segment that we are calling Controversial Opinions, where we, one of us, brings forward an opinion that could perhaps be a little controversial. I seem to have a lot of these, so I am going to start this week with a controversial opinion that I know, I already know that Becky is going to have some very strong feelings about this. Okay, controversial opinion is... I think that it is better to read the books after you watch the movie.
I'm leaving. I gotta get out of here.
I knew it.
Why, Ariel? Why? Why?
Well,
what could you possibly have?
Let me tell you why. Point number one. You are not... I feel like... when you read the book before you watch the movie, you are inevitably disappointed when you watch the movie. Because here is this world that you know and love that you have created in your head, and it is not the same as what the studio, the director, whoever has created in this movie. Right? How do you guys feel about that?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be my argument opposite, is that the person created these characters and these stories and came up with the idea, you should see what their opinion is first and then see the movie. And then you can see how the director and the writers and the producers imagined that movie being.
But what if it's not, what if it's not up to your standards? What if it's not what you expected?
Yeah, but... I don't want to read the book and picture the movie. Like, I don't want to read the Harry Potter and picture Daniel Radcliffe. I want to picture my own version of what it looks like. I don't want to, like, see those characters acting it out in the books because the books are so good that I don't want to ruin... I don't want to do anything to ruin the books because the books are always better. Always.
Well, see, I agree. The books are always better. And so if this is a world that you absolutely love, you know, say let's talk about like Hunger Games, Lord of the Rings, you know, like series,
Gone Girl, Harry Potter,
Outlander, you know, like Game of Thrones, you know, like all of these these series that we love. I actually think that the movie or the show or whatever, it's like, it's a shorter segment of time that you're spending, you know? So maybe if you, if you just wanted to like dip your toe to find out if you liked this world, this like fantasy world that they're bringing you into, watching it first is a good idea. And then reading the books because it's a deep dive. So you get like a taste by watching the movie and then you can really just delve into the world and into the like detail of the book.
It, though.
No.
Because if you watch the movie first, you're going to have this worldview and you're going to assume that the illustrations look a certain way just based on what you had just watched.
Or the books are a 10-course feast and the movie's just a little dessert to remind you of what that tasted like.
Yeah.
Right?
But what if the dessert is awful? What if you hate the dessert? Then it ruins the whole meal.
No, but what if you hate the dessert? and you haven't had the meal, you're not going to go eat the meal then. I mean, we're going too deep into this metaphor.
Yeah.
But if the movie's no good, then you're not going to read the books.
Well, okay, I have a perfect example of why you should watch, or why you should read the book first and then watch the movie.
Okay.
Everyone here has seen The Notebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Correct? If you if you're listening and you haven't seen The Notebook, I guess you could pause this part, not listen to this part, but, you know, it came out a long time ago, so I don't feel bad spoiling it. So, The Notebook, written by Nicholas Sparks. Mm-hmm. How does the movie end?
They die together.
The Notebook, the book written by Nicholas Sparks, they don't die. There's a sequel called The Wedding about one of their kids.
Oh.
They ruined it.
That would make me so happy. That would make me so happy.
They just didn't want to make a sequel.
No. Because then I could read like the book, and at the end of the book I would expect that they were gonna die, but they didn't, and then that would be so much extra joy for me.
Ariel, what's your next bullet point?
My next bullet point number two. You know the book is gonna be good because they made a movie about it.
Okay, you know what, Ariel? I don't give you that.
You if you don't have that much time to read books, you want to know that the book that you are reading is going to be worth it. So I hear you guys saying that the book that the book is always better than the movie, and that the movie could not be good, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying, is that the movie doesn't actually spoil it, because the movies, they're never as good. You know, so you're still discovering the book, even if sometimes the movie doesn't even show some of the secret plot points, like Becky's point of the Nicholas Sparks book. You know, you're discovering something completely different. You get to the end of that book and you're like, "Da fuck? Like, they're still alive?"
I do agree with this point, Ariel. I think you are onto something here. But again, I'm flipping it back to being why I get the book first, is because every year I Google what books are being made into movies this year.
Oh, yeah.
And then I try to buy those books or read those books.
If I know HBO is making a series, I buy the books.
Right? Because then you're like, I know this is going to be a good book. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple, though. I will say, Ariel, I am with you on Dune. Dune is coming out at the end of the year. Yeah. I cannot read the book to save my life. I don't understand anything I'm reading, and I will be watching Dune the movie so I can understand. And then,
you know, that's actually funny. I read Dune a long time ago, and
it's so hard. Yeah.
I've never.
Okay,
cried.
But that brings me to actually, I'm skipping a bullet
Maggie,
point here.
Maggie, I'm not clear if you agree or disagree overall yet.
Oh my god, I disagree.
So I'm 100% in the minority here.
Why it's the controversial opinion. Yeah. I think that when you watch the movie first, you're kind of already making assumptions as you're reading. So you're almost talking over the author, because you're like, oh, I already know it's going to go this way. And it kind of dampers the experience.
I do like knowing how to pronounce the names, though. Like Hermione.
Mm-hmm. How did you say it before?
The movie.
Hermione.
Oh, Hermione. I think it was Hermione or Hermione.
Yeah.
And then I heard it and was like, huh?
Oops.
Hermione.
It is embarrassing when you go to like a lit class and you go to talk about the main character and everyone's like, who? And you're like, oh, wait, how do you pronounce it? I've been mispronouncing it.
In my head, because you're reading
In my head. Yes.
Yes. All right. What you got, Ariel? What's that last point?
We were talking about Game of Thrones, right?
Okay,
so Game of Thrones has a very, very complicated family tree system where if I actually did read that book first and I was reading all the names and I could not keep up with the names and the families.
No, you can't. You have to just let it go and be like, I'm going to be confused and that's going to be okay.
But then, so I read the first book and then I watched the first season and then I read the rest of the books. And when I read the rest of the books, I had the characters in my head. I could see their faces with their names. And so I had a much better grasp of who was related to who. And like, this name goes with this person. Oh, okay. Well, that person, you know, is doing this sort of stuff, because you have like an idea in your head of what that person looks like. and who they're related to.
But mm-hmm. couldn't you argue that if you read the book first, it would make sense more and do full circle
when you watch the series? So people who just watched the series were often confused. But I read all six books before they even made the series. And was like waiting on book seven when then they made the TV show. And I had no problem following it because once you're on book six, you got it. You got it down. It's fine.
I really do like reading the books after. But the fact is, I just like reading books that are made into things.
Yeah, don't we all?
That's like a number one thing. Becky, I love that you Google what is being made into a movie.
Oh, you should yeah. have... If you guys want anything, I have them all yes. like on my bookshelf. If you guys want to get the jump on a movie or a book that I think I know will be turned into a movie in the next like 5 years, there's no way this book, it is, when you read it, you're like, I'm watching the movie.
Yes.
It's called The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just let one of my other girlfriends borrow it, but you can all take a turn with it. You will finish it in like a day. Okay. But it has to be turned into a movie. It is so good. So amazing. Wow. And don't look up anything about it. Because I went in totally blind and I thought it was really neat discovering things at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Counterpoint, Ariel, going in blind into a book that everyone's like, oh, read it, is really fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I'll give you that. What's your, okay. Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite series that's been made into a movie, a show?
Oh, you know what I will give you on movies being better than books? I think The Magicians TV show was better than The Magicians book series. There were some part, like there's this one part where they go, they're like all magicians, you know, it's like adult Harry Potter, but they like go and they turn into like wolves or something for a minute. And in the book, it's like a large part of this book. And you're like, they're wolves. Nobody can talk. Why am I reading this? And in the TV show, they did the good thing that like also Harry Potter did by taking out like the entire first chapter of Harry being like so freaking depressed. And you just have to hear about how sad he is. They make it like 1 minute. And you're like, perfect.
Great. Perfect. He's in a cupboard.
That's all I needed.
Let's get on with it. Maggie, what's your favorite book movie combo?
The Princess Bride?
That's a good one. I haven't really... I love those like fantasy or period pieces. But I would say the one that I really, really got into and I could not stop like buying the books and they just kept going was Outlander. Oh man.
I was going to guess that for you. I was like, it's Outlander. I know it's going to be Outlander.
those books were like bricks and I had a stack of them that I could build into a house because I was just, I could not stop reading those. They were just so fun and steamy. Like even the books are steamy. And you guys know how much I love a steamy book. What about you, Rach?
Gone Girl, Big Little Lies. So good. But what I'm reading now is N.K. Jemisin's. I read her trilogy, The Fifth Season, before, and I think someone should make it into several movies. It's very cool.
Ooh.
And she's a Black female sci-fi fantasy writer, which of which there are so few.
Whoa.
And all of her like concepts have to do with that, like on a like analytical level. And I'm reading her duology now. And someone signed this girl.
Do you guys have any authors that you like, if this XYZ author writes a book, like George R.R. Martin, right?
Yes,
that is his name. Like, if people are like dying for the next book and all of that. Do you have anyone that you're like, whatever you come out with, I'll read?
I just go off whatever is highly recommended to me. What about you?
Oh, girl, you know I am a basic B. Anything John fucking Green comes out
with. I was about to ask that.
I will read it in a day. I will devour it. And then Chuck Palahniuk, I'll read all of his books. But they're very opposite ends of the spectrum.
I love that you can read a whole book in a day, Becky. That's so nice.
That's fantastic.
My mom and grandma do it too. I think we're just like, we've always been like very fast.
Yeah. Are you a fast reader? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very fast. How about you, Ariel? Any authors that you're like, I need it?
I think I'm with Maggie, where I don't have like one in particular. You know, there are some authors that I'll look at the books that they have read because I've liked, or that they've written because I liked, you know, books that they wrote before. But it's not a guarantee that I'm going to like it. So I usually do the same thing that you do, where I'll look up like, is this a good book? Is this turning into a movie? Or I'll just go based on other people's recommendations, you know? So a lot of times, I think recently Rachel had some Instagram story where she talked about the books that she liked, and I just ordered a couple on Amazon. I was like, yay, someday I'm going to have time to read, and I'm going to read this.
If I own them, Ariel, don't buy them. I'll give them to you.
If you have the opportunity to not buy a book from Amazon and you could buy it from a bookstore, that is a big help to the bookstores, because physical bookstores are like straight drowning right now, because Amazon, when you look at like, okay, so a book on the back of the cover says it's $29.99. Amazon will buy that book and sell it to you for, you know, $5. They can eat that cost. The smaller bookstores can't eat that cost. Yeah. So they have to sell it for the price that the book is. There's a bunch of good like secondhand book websites too that you can go to that are
But you guys can borrow anything off my bookshelves anytime. You can come shopping. Yeah. I had to buy the Bridgerton book from Barnes & Noble and nowhere else. I like some others. I like Bookshop or IndieBound, but I had to buy it there because it was sold out everywhere else. Everyone's reading it right now because everyone's like, give me more Duke.
You guys are so good to I'm so bad at that because it's just so easy sometimes. But sometimes the things that are harder are better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My trick for Amazon is keep the app, and then you can go. I mean, also, like, we're no fucking saints. We have Amazon packages coming all the time, too. But if there is something that I see on Amazon that I want to get, I will copy the name and put it into Google and see if the actual company sells it or if I can get it from somewhere that's not Amazon. But we've gotten so conditioned to believe that, like, it's the Ariana Grande thing. I like it. I want it. You know, I got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want it fast. Yeah.
Okay, I want to know, what is a book that you, like, desperately wish that you could read over for the first time? Like, you forgot about, you forgot what the book was, and you had never read it, but you wish that you could experience that first time reading it again. For me, it would be The Golden Compass. The whole series. Mm. I read it when I was maybe 16, and I just devoured it. And we were living in London at the time, and they had just made it into a play at the Royal Theatre, and they made all three books into two plays. And so you would buy tickets to both, and then you'd see one on one weekend and one on the next weekend. And oh my gosh, I was in a fantasy dreamland for like a month, just devouring all of this content. That was one of the best parts of like, I just remember that being such an amazing time in my life.
And when you were younger, Ariel, I'm sure you were like, you didn't have a cell phone with the internet on it, and you weren't going out a lot, or maybe where, I don't know, but like, you just get so much more immersed in the world because your world is somewhat smaller than it is now, right?
Mm-hmm. You just, and you know, as a teenager, you just kind of want to escape your world sometimes.
Yes.
And so going into this, like, this other world that is so completely immersive, it's like, it's second to none.
Yeah. That's a couple years ago, Zach and I drove up to the Russian River. It's like north of San Francisco. So we were in the car for like 8 hours straight. This is probably 3 or 4 years ago. And we started reading Harry Potter, book one. And that was really fun to do. But then J.K. Rowling started saying a bunch of fucked up shit. So I rescind that comment.
Such a turf. But
well, the beautiful thing about the Harry Potter books, Maggie, is that they were written by no one. No one wrote them. They just exist.
But But Zach and I had so much fun doing voices. Like he would take turn driving and I would do it. And then I would, and he would pretend to be Severus Snape. Mm. It was fun. It was really fun.
You guys are so precious. You read Harry Potter aloud to each other in the car.
Yeah.
You don't get nauseous when you read in the car. I thought you were listening to an audiobook.
No, we could have done that, but we wanted to take the pretty way, and it wasn't when Northern California had like a bunch of fires that year, so it was really pretty, even though it's the mm-hmm. longer way, but yeah.
I like cannot read, I can't even read like texts in a car without.
If we're going straight, I get really nauseous. Going up Laurel Canyon to get anywhere in the valley for us, because that's the only street we can take other than the freeway, which is 20 minutes that way. But I get really nauseous on those kinds of streets. But if we're just going straight, it's not so bad for me. It's when we start doing twists and turns and my brain gets confused as to where I am. Where am I? That's why you get dizzy. It's like have you ever spun round, 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 round and round and then opened your eyes and mm-hmm. see your eyes kind of jitter? It's trying to figure out where your axis is.
Wow. Yeah, I saw those glasses that they have that you can wear, because like I would love to read in the car, but again, I don't want to throw up, but they have these glasses that basically have like blinder type things on them.
Horse
that
blinders.
Yeah, but they're not blinders. It's almost like, I think they're like reflective or something, but they help your eyes keep...
I wonder
like,
how
it's
that
almost
works.
Like spotting. I don't remember what the technology on it was, but I was like, I want that.
I want that. That would be cool.
What's the book you would read again, Becky, if you could?
Oh, if I could, there are a few. So Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I would definitely reread. That was one that I just read that I was like, holy shit, that was so good. But I'm so basic. The Fault in Our Stars.
That's a good one.
I hate
one.
That I even said it, but like, I just could reread that.
You love
and,
what
like,
you
I
love.
I remember just crying.
I cried
know?
A lot.
The heart yeah. wants what it wants, so, Becky.
Oh, I loved that book. Loved it. I'm a little like 16-year-old at heart.
Yeah. So sweet.
Yes. I'm reading young adult books left and right here. Even so important ones. I need the remixed version. Guys, so I loved all this. We're like, if we were on TikTok, we'd be on Book Talk right now.
Book Talk.
Do you watch Book TikTok? Becky, is that your TikTok feed?
Maybe. I'm on Book Talk, Plant Talk, and then I sent Zach and Maggie a funny, it was like, you know the song in Hamilton where it's like, hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey.
Well, it was a bunch of hay talking
with
to each
eyeballs.
Other, like little barrels of hay that had eyeballs, and then at the end it was a little cow that went, moo.
So
and I sent it to Zach and Maggie, but I watched it so much that now I'm on like farm TikTok.
Oh my God. So good. So many of you guys have been sending me axolotl TikToks, and because of that, my entire feed is just axolotls and my
Maggie's
search
been
history.
Sending them to me.
Axolotl plushies I've been recommended. I love it. Also,
I take
fun
it back,
fact.
They are cuter than the first photo you showed us. Some of those TikToks were kind of cute. The first photo was horrifying.
I learned something
that.
This week, too, that I have been... There's only one lake in the entire world where wild axolotls live, because there's a lot in laboratories and a lot of people have them as pets. Mm-hmm. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Lake Xochimilco. It is outside of Mexico City. Zach and I have been there. And we had no idea. Our little friends,
they
were swimming.
You could have seen them?
Yes. They live there. Also, I learned another important fact about them is that they can regenerate limbs. Like if their arm gets cut off.
That goes back into the freaky category.
But I mean, they're cool though.
Their legs.
There's a study. I think that they're trying to study it's more complicated than just talking about it. Like scientists are trying to understand what it is about them that they can do that in hopes of helping with like wound healing in people or like amputations or like trying to get a finger, like if you get your finger cut off, like what they can do to get the finger to take if it's sewed back on, because sometimes it's kind of 50-50 with vascularization. It's really interesting. Cool. But I'm so mad that I didn't know I was there, because it's kind of a tourist place where you can get in a boat, and it's like the Venice canals of Mexico City, where you can get, there's vendors on the river where you can buy food, and there's music. It's really nice. Ooh. But I didn't know our little friends were underneath us. I could have gotten one.
You could have scooped next one time. Out.
Once next we time. Can travel again, you'll go back.
Yeah, but they're illegal in California. Apparently, yeah. Even though that they are endangered, you can't have them here, because if they were to escape, they could damage our ecosystem.
Ecosystem. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Cutie little booties.
Yeah, cutie booties. Thank you for listening to our book talk, our BTS of our, you know, Try Guys videos that we've seen. If you have another suggestion for another Try Guys video that you guys want to know sort of what we were doing in the background of that video, let us know in the comments. Also tell us, like, what book are you reading right now that you can't put down? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear your suggestions. And as always, you can email us at youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com. Make sure you're rating and reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.